behind you.
All right.
He's so small, I couldn't see it.
My assistant pastor over to my right there, Brother Alex, is 6'8", and bigger than me. I did that on purpose. I was starting to get big, and I didn't like it, so I got someone larger than me to make me look smaller. And so thank you, Brother Alex. That was the only qualification. He didn't even have to finish school, you know. Just had to be bigger than me. It works. Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity. I'm thankful for the Lewis family and Dr. Lewis and Miss Robin. They've been a tremendous blessing to me and my family, and we're going to take him on for support as soon as he comes down there. And so I thank God for them. Find, if you would, in your Bible, the book of Exodus and chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1. And on Sunday nights at my church, I like to preach to families, help families out. And I'd like to do that tonight if I could for a moment. Hopefully the message will apply to everybody in the room. But in Exodus in chapter number 1, with the Lord's help this evening, I'd like to preach on the subject that I've entitled, The Joy of Jochebed. The Joy of Jochebed. And we'll find it there in Exodus in chapter number 1, beginning there with verse number 22, the end of the chapter. The Bible says, And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went out a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And a woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to the Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening one more time. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And Father, I need thee every hour, especially now. I want to be a blessing, not a burden to these dear folk. And so, Father, I pray with the time that we have that you'll speak to our hearts. Give me the words to say. And I pray, dear Lord, that the message that we hear from the Holy Ghost tonight in our hearts will be one that we'll be able to make decisions on for eternity. Thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Well, we talk about the story, the joy of Jochebed. It's a very interesting story. You have Moses' mother here, and you know the story, I'm sure, of what took place here with the Pharaoh demanding that all the children, the Hebrew children, are to be killed. And the reason was of the population. The Hebrews were just getting larger and larger in population, and the Pharaoh was concerned about that, and so he said, you know, here's what we need to do. Let's kill all the men children that are to be born. And so Pharaoh's Moses' mother had Moses, and she couldn't do it. She couldn't bring herself to hurt that little baby. And she looked at him, and I could see it in my mind's eye. She couldn't bring herself to hurt this little baby, you know? And I think about that and our society today, and boy, we could preach on that, and maybe I will in just a minute. But what a scene that was, this mother not wanting to do any harm to this precious little child that was there before her very eyes. And that's the way God feels about us. What a godly woman she was, and this lady. And God honored her because of that. God honored this woman, no doubt about it, because of her desire to take care of this little baby and not hurt this little baby. Imagine what that must have been like as she's there. And night after night, this baby is crying. And you know how babies do. And she's trying to keep him calm. And she's trying to not let him make any noise because for fear of the Pharaoh's soldiers are going to hear this ruckus. And they'll come in and they'll say, who is this baby? And maybe even kill the entire family. So when the baby got that risky, I believe, where she realized that, you know what, I'm going to have to do something. And so she took this baby, she put him in that ark, and she pushed him out. It's interesting to think about. You know, here this little child, and she said, God, you're going to have to take care of him. I've done all that I can. I can't do anything else. He's a baby like a normal baby. He cries, he does all that, and he's putting everybody at risk, and all I can do is just take this baby and give him to you, Lord. You've got to take care of him. I think about that with our own troubles and our own trials in life. You know, at some point, friend, you're going to have to give it to God, you know? We have things and we say, oh, I got to take care of this, I got to take care of that. And I say, friend, don't you understand that we're supposed to cast our cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. And at some point, you got to say, God, I need you to take care of this, and you got to let it go. She did that. And interesting enough, you see his sister, Moses' sister, presumably Miriam. And there she is watching this little baby as he's floating down. And the Bible teaches us that she wanted to see to it what would become of him. And so she follows this little baby as he's floating downstream, downriver. And she finally sees this little baby find itself over by the Pharaohs. And certainly in her heart, she must have thought, oh, it's the end. He's going to die. But it didn't turn out that way, did it? Oh, that Pharaoh's daughter was out there. And she said, Miriam, oh, this may be one of the Hebrews' children, or somebody did. And she says, all right, go fetch a Hebrew lady that she may nurse it. She went and she got her mama. And she says, mama, come back. You're not going to believe this. Can you imagine what that must have been like for that dear woman of God? She had just pushed off her baby out and just said, I'm trusting you, Lord. And you know what? God took care of her, didn't he? I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm giving this baby to you. And God did a pretty good deed. I tell you what, she pushed that baby out, and that Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, and she said, give me a nurse. And so here comes Miriam, and she says, mama, you're not going to believe this. Can you imagine what I picture in my mind? You got to allow me to do this. The mother going home and saying, God, I gave him to you. God, he's yours, and you got to take care of him. And her daughter comes in and says, mama, you're not going to believe it. And she says, what is it? And she says, he's going to be fine. And they want you to come, and they want you to nurse this baby, and they want you to raise this baby. And I can imagine that she must have said, oh, what a God, what a God. We look at this life of Jochebed, and I say, what a woman of God. We don't know very much about her. But I tell you something. I entitled this The Joy of Jochebed, and you say, why? Because the Bible says in 3 John 1, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know something tonight? I know that Miriam wasn't perfect. She had problems. God gave her leprosy at one point, you know. I know that Aaron wasn't perfect. Aaron had some problems too. Moses wasn't perfect. You know that as well as I do. But when you look at their lives, you see this lady, and she's got three kids. Although not perfect, they sort of turned out for God, didn't they? You got one who's the leader of Israel. I mean, think about it. Now we're talking about millions of people, and God said, I want you to be the leader of Israel. And then you got another son who is the high priest, the very first one. And then you got one, her daughter, Miriam, who the Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 that she was a leader amongst women. And she led them out to worship God. And I say, my soul, wouldn't that be wonderful to know that all of your children, maybe not perfect, but they turned out for God. They did something for God. And I say, well, what do we know about Jochebed? I mean, we don't even get her name from that portion of Scripture. You got to look in Exodus chapter 6 just to find out what her name is, you know. But what do we know about this woman, Jochebed? I say to you tonight, we find that she was a protector of that which is precious. She's a protector of that which is precious. She protected her baby. How anybody can hurt a baby is beyond me. There's nothing that makes my blood boil any quicker than somebody hurting a child. I don't like it, not even a little bit. Somebody came to me in my church and said, this young man is being hurt by somebody else. And I was telling my assistant pastors about it. And I said, listen, we got to go have a talk with this man. And one of my assistant pastors was just pounding his fist like this. And I said, not like that, but we do need to go. And we need to put the fear of God in him. And we need to let him know, hey, you're not going to hurt him. You leave him alone. And you say, why? Nothing makes my blood boil anymore than somebody hurting a child. Keep your hands off children. You know? Yeah. Hey, friend, the Lord feels the same way. The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse number 6, Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. God said, I don't like you messing with children either, you know? Right. Our nation somehow thinks that God's going to bless her. Meanwhile, we run human slaughterhouses called abortion clinics. I don't understand. That's completely insane to think that God's going to bless America while we're running these slaughterhouses. Recently, I don't know if you watched the news or not, we found out that they're literally selling the organs of these children. We've got problems, friend, in our nation. You know, it's the basic primal instinct of even the animal kingdom to protect their young. And here on our shores, listen, friend, I love America. I believe she's the greatest country on the face of this earth. I thank God for America. But right here, we've got major problems when it comes to protecting children. Talking about animals knowing how to protect their children. I remember one time we went on a youth activity when I was a teenager up to the Smoky Mountains. You know, we were going on a scholarship trip of some sort. And our youth pastor, Brother Tim, he took us up to this Smoky Mountain area, the National Park. And one of the young men in our youth group decided he was going to play a prank and scare everybody else. So he got ahead of the group, and he was just going to do the normal thing and leap out from behind a rock and say, ah, you know, and scare the fire out of all of us, you know. So he gets ahead of everybody and on the trail. And as he gets ahead of the trail, he doesn't jump out and scare us. The next thing we know, he is running toward us full speed. And he finally gets to us and, is it gone? Is it gone? And we said, is what gone? He goes, the bear. And we said, oh, man, you haven't been chased by no bear. And he says, I'm telling you, I was chased by a bear. And I said, you can't outrun a bear. And so we continued walking. I said, where was it at? And we got around the bend. He says, right around the bend. We came around the bend. He said, it was here. I'm telling you, I promise you, I was chased by a bear. And I said, well, there's got to be tracks. So I looked down on the ground, and I saw big paw tracks with dirt kicked up behind each one. Like, it wasn't walking, friend. It was a running. You know, this kid outran a bear. And I looked up on the side of the mountain, and there was a bear with two little cubs. You know why that bear chased him that day? She was protecting her young. She found him as a threat, and she says, I got to protect my young. God put that in animals. They know to protect their young. But we as human beings, God's crowning creation, can't even figure it out that we're supposed to protect babies. Oh, we have a problem. She was a protector of that which is precious. Friend, we need to learn something from that tonight. I like you, I want to hear that my children walk in truth. God has given me Simeon, Silas, and Katiebug. Her name's Kathleen, but if you ask her what her name is, she'll say it's Katiebug. And so I have Simeon, Silas, and Katiebug. And God has given me those three kids, and I want them to turn out for God. I want them to live for God. And I understand I can do everything that I know to do, but at the end of the day, they have their free will to make the choices in life that they can make. And I just want to do the best that I can to ensure that they turn out for God. And so I see here, she protected that which is precious. You know, the Apostle Peter gives us a few things that are precious tonight. I want you to turn there, if you would, please, in the book of 1 Peter. I think if we're going to do a good job of making sure our children turn out for God, then we need to just kind of learn something from Miriam, and that is we need to protect that which is precious. So you say, well, what on earth is precious? Peter gives us a few different things that are precious here over in the book of 1 Peter in chapter number 1 and verse number 18. 1 Peter in chapter number 1 over in verse number 18. He says here, 1 Peter chapter number 1, in fact, I meant to say verse number 7. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what we need to protect? Peter says, I'll tell you what's precious. It's faith. The precious faith, the trial of your faith. Oh, friend, we have a precious faith. He said, it's worth more than gold, and we have to protect the precious faith. Oh, it was the Apostle Paul who was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he wrote that church, that letter to the churches at Galatia. And he says, but if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which ye have heard, he said, let him be accursed. He said, protect the gospel. He went as far as to say, if somebody preaches another gospel, even if it's an angel from heaven, he said, let him be accursed. That word accursed means let him be damned or let him go to hell. You understand that? Hey, that's Paul, man. Paul said, hey, if they come along preaching another gospel, which is not another, he said, if they preach a good news, that's not really good news at all. It's bad news. He said, let him be accursed. You say, why? Because, friend, when you're preaching a different gospel, you're giving folks a false sense of heaven.
Right.
You're sending them to hell. Yeah. And he says, hey, protect the gospel, protect the faith. And there's so many people who are adding works to grace all around us. No wonder Matthew said in Matthew chapter number 7 that broad is the way and many there be which go in thereat. No wonder he said there'll be many who will say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous works? I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. It's not by works of man's righteousness whereby we are saved. It's by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him. And friend, we have to protect that faith that comes under attack. And Paul said, if we or an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel, hey, let him be accursed. Oh, friend, we've got to protect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure we don't allow the waters, the crystal clear waters of the gospel, to get muddied up with a works-based salvation. Well, it happened. He says, even if an angel from heaven comes, you know, I wish that old Joseph Smith knew that scripture, you know, when he was out there and he said, well, you know, I was out here on this pilgrimage or whatnot, and I found these tablets, tripped over them, turned around, looked, there was tablets, and then I didn't understand it, so an angel came down, interpreted it. I wrote the Book of Mormon. Oops, I'm sorry, I lost the tablets, but I have the Book of Mormon, and now who knows how many people are on their way to hell because somebody listened to an angel when it preached another gospel, which is not another. Harry Ironside, speaking on that portion of scripture in the book of Galatians, he used this illustration. He said there's a woman who's on board of a train, and she was really leery about making sure she didn't miss her stop, and there she was with her infant baby in her arms. She tells the conductor, conductor, please don't let me miss my stop. I'm afraid I don't ride trains. I don't want to miss my stop. And conductor said, don't worry. I'll get you off in the right place, you know. So she felt a little better, but she was still uneasy. She knew he was a busy man, and then the gentleman sitting near her was a businessman who rode the train often, and he said to her, he said, ma'am, can I tell you something? I ride this train all the time. I know every single stop that it makes. He said, I know exactly where your stop is. He says, if the conductor forgets or whatever, I will make sure you know where to get off. And with that, she felt at ease, knowing there was somebody else looking out for her. Well, the train made this stop, and he said, okay, next one's yours. The next stop is yours. And he says, I got this route memorized. The train made the next stop, and he smiled at her, and he says, well, he forgot. I was afraid he would. He said, but this is your stop, ma'am. You can get off. And so with that, she got off the train with her infant child in the snow and went on her way, and the train went and came to the next stop, and the conductor came into that car, and he says, hey, where's that lady that had that baby? And he said, he smiled kind of smugly, and he says, well, you forgot her stop, and I let her know, and she got off the train. With that, the conductor said, that wasn't a normal stop. That was an emergency stop. There was something on the tracks. We had to get rid of it. He said, you just let that woman and her little baby out all by herself in this frigid weather? They did something that was uncommon. They backed the train up, which was also very dangerous. They sent out search crews from the train, and they began to look and scour the area. And finally, they found this woman, and she was dead, and she was clutching in her arms her little infant baby, who was also dead. And both of them were there, just dead in the snow, had frozen to death. Why? Because a well-meaning person who was sincere was sincerely wrong, and he gave her bad advice and killed them both. Oh, friend, How do you feel about somebody who preaches a works-based salvation? I'll tell you how Paul felt about him. He said, let him be accursed. You understand? We have to protect the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to protect that precious faith. Oh, there's something else that Peter said is precious over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. 1 Peter in chapter number 1, and look with me if you would at verse number 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers. Oh, but with the precious, precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want you to know something else. Peter said, not only is your faith precious, he said there's something else that's precious. It's called the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's precious. And friend, I see Jochebed said, I'm protecting that which is precious. I tonight want to protect that which is precious. I know the gospel, our faith is precious, and I know the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, it is precious. One time I was going to preach on the blood. I just felt like God wanted me to preach on the blood at my church. And I thought to myself, man, when's the last time I just preached a sermon on the blood, you know? And I you added in a point here and there. But I said, when's the last time I just cleared off a spot and just preached on the blood of Jesus? I'm embarrassed to tell you. I started going through my archives and looking back, and further I went. I went a little over a year before I had preached on the blood. And I said, oh, shame on me. Listen, friend, it's by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are redeemed. You don't hear preaching on the blood anymore in other places, I'm sure. Their songs are focusing on other things. But friend, it's all about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't take a dog to a church that doesn't preach on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about the blood. Oh, it's precious blood. Friend, it's indestructible blood. You know, his blood still flows as fresh today as it did the day he died on Mount Calvary. People can still be saved. You know what else? It's indiscriminate blood. Anybody can be saved. I like that. Preaching to my church the other day, I said, some of you think that we ought to have a church for this people and a church for that people and a church for this race and a church for that race. I said, when we get to heaven, can I tell you something? Every kindred, every tribe, every nation will be gathered together as one now. As God finally gathers us all together, he calls us all out together in that one great church when it finally happens. But you know who you'll be worshiping beside? You'll be worshiping beside someone who maybe is Asian. Maybe somebody who's black, somebody who's Hispanic, we'll all be together. Amen. Oh, friend, you want to know why? Because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious, indiscriminate blood, and it can wash away the sins, red, yellow, black, or white. They're all precious in his sight, and God died for all of them. I like pastoring in Miami. I tell people, I say, hey, look around you. This is what heaven's going to look like. All of us together, you know, worshiping the Lord. His blood is precious. I want you to know something else tonight. We got to protect that which is precious. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Friend, I want you to know in those few verses there, Peter talks about our faith, and he says, the faith, it's precious. And then he talks about the blood, and he says, the blood, it's precious. And then he starts to talk about that chief cornerstone. He starts to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, the Lord is precious. And then he says, can I say it again? The Lord is precious. And he says it a third time in that portion of scripture. He said, hey, let me just say it one more time. The Lord is precious. Oh, friend, I think about how precious he is to me. This world may reject him, but he is precious to me. You know, I don't, somebody says, you know, some preacher I heard, I don't remember even when it was, a long time ago. He said, well, you can't use that word unconditional because it's not found in the Bible. And I said, well, that's all I know about the love that my Lord has for me. It is unconditional. I tell you something. I'm not proud of it, but there's a time in my life where I was away from the Lord. But do you know that the Lord waited for me with arms open? And he was just waiting for me to come home. And when I did, don't you know that he went out to meet me and he wrapped his arms around me and he kissed my neck and he put a robe upon me and called for a ring and for a fatted calf. I'm just telling you, ever since I got right with God, God has been so good to me and he's always loved me ever since then. Yes, I have messed up since then. I'm not perfect, and friend, nor are you, but we have a Savior who loves us no matter what. All the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Listen, though he fall, good men can fall. Amen. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen. Oh, what a Savior we have. He's so precious to me because he's never given up on me. You want to know why I live for the Lord today? The Bible says it's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth me to repentance. I don't understand why God is so good to me. If I were God, I'd have squashed me a long time ago, you know? But God says, no, I still love you. And God is good to me, and he's good to me, and he's good to me. And I say, why would you be so good to me? He says, because I love you no matter what. And I say, if you love me that way, then I can't help but want to serve you with my life. And that's what I do. It's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth me to repentance. You ought to thank God how good God's been to you. No wonder Peter said, he's precious. And then he said, he's precious. And he said, can I say it one more time? He is precious to me. Hey, if anybody could preach on the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ based upon how God still loves you, even though you mess up, sure, it would be Peter, no doubt about it. And he said, he is so precious to me. Oh, he gives something else, but you got to turn to the next book over in 2 Peter. We're going to be like Jochebed, and we're going to protect that which is precious. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can I tell you something else that's precious? God's word is precious. These precious promises that you hold in your King James Bible. Like Jochebed protected that which is precious, we must protect the Word of God. You say, friend, why are you so adamant about this King James Bible? Because it's precious to me. Amen. It's precious to me. I'm holding in my hand tonight a very precious Bible. I don't normally take it with me, but when they asked me to preach, I said, I'm going to bring this one. And it's a precious Bible to me. And you say, why? I say, well, it's precious for a lot of reasons. I got lots of signatures in here. Curtis Hudson, J.B. Buffington, you know. Dr. Mickey Carter right there, you know. Hey, by the way, you ought to thank God for your pastor. Can I just say that? Oh, friend, I don't even know if you realize or not, but you've got a man of God, a hero of the faith as a pastor. You ought to thank God for him. I see all kinds of people, A.V. Henderson, Lee Robertson, you know, is in here, Dolphus Price, you know, and the list goes on and on. I just had Bobby Robertson sign it last time I saw him. You know, I like this Bible. It's precious to me. It's also precious to me because I got lots of notes in the back, and I wrote in the back all these different quotes from people, and I write notes in my Bible and underscore things. It's precious to me, but it's precious to me because it says, to Larry Kyle, that's my middle name, and it says, love, Mom. 11-2-1992. You want to know what my mama gave me? She didn't give me an NIV. She didn't give me an NASB. My mama gave me the KJB. And it's precious to me because it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And you ought to thank God you go to a church that understands that and believes that and knows that the Bible is the Word of God. One day I was sitting in your pew for a church service a while back, and I was sitting beside my cousin, Kevin Hart. Don't judge me. That is my cousin. We'll move on from there. I was sitting beside him in church one night, and I looked up here at this baptistry thing, and it said KJV. And I said to Kevin, I said, reckon what Brother Carter would do if I just went and put the letter N right in front of the KJV. And he says, I'm afraid he would gut you like a deer. Friend, I don't want to be gutted like a deer. You know, I'd never do a thing like that. Hey, it's the Word of God. It's the inspired Word of God. This book has been my guide. It's a friend close by my side. There are places that bear traces of my tears, but more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can scatter and shatter my fears. As I prayerfully look in this precious old book, as my eyes scan the pages, I see many tokens of love from my Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. You've got to protect that which is precious and let your children know, hey, this is the Word of God. And by the way, you got to make sure you protect it in all languages. Friend, I wouldn't have a Spanish. I pastor in Miami, friend. I wouldn't have a Spanish Bible that says, lo, there are four men loose and walking in the flame, and the fourth is likened to the sons of the gods. Hey, don't you dare take Jesus out of the fire. Amen. Hey, he was in the fire then, and he's still in the fire today, ready to walk us through all of our fiery trials. It's not some son of some pagan god. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, I would boot a book out of my church that took Jesus out of the fire. Well, like it or not, I like it, you know. She was a protector of that which is precious. I want you to know something else. Lastly, she was a protector of that which is promised. She did not know that Moses was going to be God's promise to the children of Israel. She didn't know that, but she protected him nonetheless. But you know what, friend? We got an advantage that she didn't have. We know what's promised. We know that the Lord said, for the Lord himself, for the Word of God says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You know as well as I do. The Lord promised to come again. Friend, it could be tonight. We need to protect that promise. Oh, friend, let your children know. And maybe you're a grandparent in here. Let your grandchildren know the Lord's coming again. Oh, I remember growing up, you know, preachers would say, well, he's coming back soon. I know he is. I mean, just look all around you, you know. And as a child, you hear it over and over again. But friend, I've never seen anything like the days of which we are living in right now. I've never seen anything like it. I tell my wife, I say, honey, this is incredible what we're watching before our very eyes. And she says, it's rather scary. I said, there's nothing to be scared about. I said, I don't know about you, but I don't believe that I was reserved for the wrath to come, but the Lord's going to save me from that. Hey, I'm looking for the uppertaker to come and take me out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Friend, it could be tonight. We need to be protectors of that which is promised. We need to let our children know the Lord is coming again. Live right. The Lord is coming again. Make sure you're saved. The Lord is coming again. Tell your loved ones about Christ. The Lord is coming again. Keep yourself pure. The Lord is coming again. Live for Christ. The Lord is coming again. Amen. Little girl came home from the untimely funeral of her father, and her mother sat down and explained to her daughter that daddy was never coming home again, you know? As she's sitting there explaining all this to her little daughter, her daughter says, well, Mom, where's he at? And she says, he's in heaven. And she says, will I ever see him again? And she says, well, yeah, one day. She said, what do you mean? She says, well, one day the Lord will come back and take us all. And she says, well, when's he coming? You know, it's the way my daughter talks. When's he coming, you know? The other day, my daughter looked out the window of the car and looked in a cloud. She said, is he coming in that cloud? You know, when's he coming, you know? And the mother said, well, we don't know, but it could be today. With that, the little girl ran upstairs. The mother said, oh, she's upset. Let me give her a second. The mother went up there and thought, oh, what am I going to be dealing with? And she found her daughter sitting there in front of her little mirror, brushing her hair. And she says to her, she says, what's the matter? What are you doing? And she says, well, I'm just making myself pretty. And she says, why? She says, because you said the Lord could come back. And you said I'll be able to see daddy again. And when I see daddy, I want him to think I'm pretty. And she says, oh, let me tell you something, friend. She knew that she needed to make herself ready for the Lord's return. Amen. We ought to do the same thing. Protect that which is promised. He could come back tonight. think about your life and you say, you know what? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Protect that which is promised, friend. You better know you're going to heaven. What about living right for the Lord? You know, I don't want the Lord to come back and I'm not living for him. You know, I don't want to be ashamed at his appearing, the Bible says. Oh, it can happen. You know, can you imagine? What if the Lord came back tonight? All those people who are here Sunday morning didn't come back to Sunday night service. I hope he does. You know, they'll be at home and all of a sudden they're raptured out of here and their hands in the form of a remote control. If they're from my church, it's in the form of a remote control and a cigarette, you know. But in the other hand, but they'll be zapped out of here and say, whoa, 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 hey, Lord, you know. And it could be, not, I want the Lord to find me living for him. I really do. Sold out on fire for God. It could be tonight. Let's make sure we're protecting these promises. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we need to go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father in heaven, we love you and thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you for the joy of Jochebed. And Father, tonight, how I pray that you'll have spoken to the hearts of people. Help us, Lord, to protect those things which are precious. We have a precious faith, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious book. Father, I pray that you'll help us protect that which is promised. Help us to be ready for your appearing. Help us to not have anything in our hearts or lives, Father, that we'd be ashamed of at your appearing, but to live righteous and holy lives.